I'm Ron DeLegge, inventor of the Portfolio Report Card, which tells you if your investment plan is on or off track. No more guessing about your investment portfolio's fees, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started. Find out if your IRA, 401k plan, and investment account passes or fails. Take off the blinders and invest with confidence. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started and find out if your investment plan passes or fails.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
If death met taxes in a dark alley, who would win? You're going to find out on today's show. Speaking of taxes, I'll be sharing with you some last-minute tax tips for you procrastinators. Also coming up on today's show, Brian Jacobs, president at Direction Investments, will be our program guest, and they manage almost $10 billion in assets across a diverse lineup of mutual funds and ETFs, and we will be talking about some of those products, particularly the leveraged products, how those work, and where those fit into overall portfolio management. If you'd like to join us, we're here, 844-305-7800. Give us your first name along with your city. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, again, 844-305-7800. Give us your first name along with your city. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle, and we're here. So let's take a look and find out what's happening in financial markets, beginning with the total U.S. stock market, which is ahead by 1.2% since the beginning of the year. And in case you're wondering how that compares to bonds, well, guess what? Bonds are up pretty much the same, about 1.3%. That's a total U.S. bond market. And then we've got the gold market, which is up pretty much the exact same. Ticker symbol GLD, which tracks gold, up 1.3%. It's all scrambled eggs and sloppy joes. Everything up the same. And then the one area, though, that has really been a standout performer in terms of when we look at the financial markets globally, international stocks. Despite the currency madness and collapse in various currencies from the Brazil real to the euro to the Japanese yen, international stocks are blowing away. Domestic stocks, ticker symbol VEA, which tracks a basket of international stocks from around the globe, including Europe and Asia and South America. VEA ahead by 7%. And we see a really good performance there. And in terms of real estate investments, REITs, VNQ tracks that area had even 4%. So that's just a quick gander at what's going on in terms of performance, year-to-date performance in financial markets. We'll get you caught up on some of what's happening in some of those industry sectors within the broader market so that you can look, see, and feel and compare what's happening and what's driving markets up and down. Before we do that, I want to pose a question to our audience, and I'm going to answer this question. What's better, a total market approach or the S&P 500? What is better? And I'm going to answer this question because it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and we think about this in the context of building an investment portfolio. Now, last year, Warren Buffett said he would direct the trustees of his estate to put 90% of his remaining assets in an S&P 500 index fund and 10% in short-term government bonds, the 90-10 portfolio. Is there a better approach for individual investors to follow? Now, although popular benchmarks like the S&P 500 get most of the headlines, broader funds like the Vanguard Total U.S. Stock Market ETF, ticker symbol VTI, or the Schwab Total U.S. Market Fund, ticker symbol SCHB, are actually better portfolio building blocks. The S&P 500 is limited to just 500 large cap U.S. stocks, whereas a broad market index fund like VTI or SCHB can hold up to 4,000 stocks because it includes a mixture of large caps along with mid and small company stocks. So you're getting the whole bunch of them, not just the large caps. And while the differences between the S&P 500 and a broad market index might seem small, the results are definitely not the same. A big difference in terms of performance results. And I did a small study on this, and I want to share the results with you. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. This is where we talk about the birds and the bees of successful investing every week. And right now, I want to share with you something better than the S&P 500. Now, this is in the context, again, of building a portfolio with broad exposure to just one area of the stock market. We're talking about domestic or U.S. stocks. Now, I looked at the performance of the broad or total market index fund approach versus the S&P 500 going back to March 9th of 2009. And if your memory is fading, that was the most recent market low, March 9th, 2009. So how has the performance of the total market index versus the S&P 500 been? Well, ticker symbol VTI, which takes that total market index approach, has gained 253% since that market low, whereas the S&P 500 has gained just 239%. Now, that's a 14% advantage for the broader index approach. Now, what's interesting about this is you ask, well, why is that the case? Why has the broader index or total market index approach outperformed the S&P 500? What explains this? Well, exposure to mid and small company stocks is a major factor because both of these areas have shown a long-term tendency to outperform larger stocks. And that's why you need for a portfolio core position, a total market index approach. That's the better way versus the S&P 500. And if we go out a little bit longer, we see this same type of phenomenon in terms of performance of the total index approach outperforming the S&P 500. If we just go back 10 years, the S&P 500 has gained 109%. Meanwhile, total U.S. stock market was up 117%. So that's outperformance with the total U.S. stock market approach. This is the index that never gets mentioned by mainstream media. This is the index approach that gets ignored while the S&P 500 gets all of the glory. And so now you know that, look at your portfolio. See if you have exposure to the total U.S. stock market and those ticker symbols I just gave you, VTI and SCHB, are an excellent tool to use to build this into your core component of your portfolio. If you're just joining us, again, you're listening to the Index Investing Show, 844-305-7800. We're here. We're live. Give me your first name along with your city, along with your ticker symbols. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your investments, telling you the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio, A, B, C, D, or F, those are the grades. If you get an A, I pay you $100. If you get a B, that's a great score. If you get a C, that's not a good score. Neither is D or F. But the point here is not to embarrass you. Rather, it's to help you see very clearly the strengths and the weaknesses of your investment portfolio. It's a diagnosis. And once you know where you're at, then you can know where you're going. Coming up a little bit later, Brian Jacobs, president at Direction Investments, will be joining us. We'll be talking about some of Direction's ETFs. They manage almost $10 billion. Also coming up, If death met taxes in a dark alley, who would win? You're going to find out on today's program. I'm Ron Leggi. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron Leggi.
All right. Taking a look at some of the top performing industry sectors and areas of the market. If we take a look at the S&P 500, we've been talking about this for a long time now, but healthcare stocks continue to reign. XLV, which tracks the healthcare sector and some of these pharmaceutical stocks and medical device makers within the S&P 500, XLV ahead by just over 7% since the beginning of the year. And they continue to perform and go up, up, up. At the opposite spectrum, some of the industry sectors that are lagging are energy stocks, XLE, down just over 2% since the beginning of the year, and utilities, XLU, down 6.3%. Now, in terms of leverage performance, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit with Brian Jacobs at Direction Investments, the areas that are really performing strongest are those focused in international markets. JPNL, which aims for triple daily performance to Japanese stocks, again, that ticker symbol, JPNL, ahead by 42% since the beginning of the year. That's where the momentum is at. Same thing for Russian stocks, probably the most hated securities on the planet. RUSL, which tracks Russia, with triple daily performance or leverage, up 21% since the beginning of the year. And that has been a mighty dead cat bounce there for Russian stocks, which were creamed about 40% last year. But they have bounced mightily in 2015. One other area in terms of outstanding performance has been ticker symbol CURE, or CURE, which tracks healthcare stocks with triple daily leverage, up 20% since the beginning of the year. And so those are some of the areas that are performing well. Those of you that are into momentum trading strategies, and that is very quickly a recap of where the momentum is at. Now, for the rest of us, I want to talk about two quick ways for you procrastinators that you can trim your 2014 tax bill just ahead of the April 15th deadline. And the first way is to make a contribution, a tax-deductible contribution, to an IRA. Now, many taxpayers younger than age 50 can contribute up to $5,500, and those above 50 can contribute up to $6,500. But again, to do this, you must earn income up to the amount of the contribution, and so you will get a tax-deductible contribution. So that's one way. And then the last way is to have a health savings account. You can make a tax-deductible contribution to a qualified HSA, also known as a health savings account. The limit is $3,300 per individual, or for a family, $6,550, with an extra $1,000 if the taxpayer is 55 or older. Those HSA accounts are pretty sweet. So those are two quick ways for you to trim your tax bill. And speaking of taxes, I want to share with you something that I wrote about in my book, Gents With No Sense, that I thought you would enjoy, about just the maze of taxes and tax law changes that's constantly facing all of us. Certain tax reduction strategies have no official name and can only be classified as miscellaneous secrets. Now, I came across this in my former job as a security salesperson many years ago when I met a wealthy man whose net worth was so fantastic that it caused his family a very large tax liability. Now, to address the problem, he hired an extensive team of tax experts. They quickly designed an elaborate tax shelter that called for reporting zero income from over 1,000 different places. But before they could initiate the plan, guess what happened? The tax laws were unexpectedly changed. So the team of tax experts went back to the drawing board, this time recrafting a more formidable tax shelter by establishing multiple shell companies in order to generate substantial losses. But guess what happened? Before they could implement the plan, the tax laws were unexpectedly changed again. By this time, a year had already passed, and the wealthy man's large tax liability had grown even larger. He called for a private meeting with his tax advisors, demanding to know what tax reduction strategies they had implemented. When he arrived for his appointment, he was greeted by an administrative assistant who handed him an envelope with a letter inside that read the following: "Dear client, we're sorry to inform you that due to tax law changes, we could not locate a suitable tax shelter for you. As a reimbursement for your losses, enclosed is our tax deductible invoice for $937,000. Yours truly, Flagrant Billings Bait, Foil, and Tackle, LLP." And again, that invoice, that tax deductible invoice for $937,000. Needless to say, the wealthy man was not happy with the letter. But on a positive note, he did receive a rather large tax deduction. And that's from Gents with No Sense in the chapter about earth, wind, and taxes. Go find it, go read it at Amazon.com. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If death met taxes in a dark alley, who would win? I'm going to tell you the answer to that in a little bit. If you'd like to join us, we're here. You want to talk about a specific investment strategy, a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF. Give me your first name along with your city, and I will get to it. Again, 844-305-7800. You can also tweet the program at Index Show. If you ever miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can go to iTunes and find us. Just search under the Index Investing Show. We're also on SoundCloud as well as Stitcher Radio. Never miss an episode of the Index Investing Show. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your portfolio, send it to PortfolioReportCard.com. That's how you get in touch with me. Again, PortfolioReportCard.com. Submit your request, and I will get back to you. I will analyze and grade your portfolio. So far, over the past year, I've analyzed and graded more than $100 million in investment portfolios from people just like you. 401k plans, taxable accounts, trust accounts, Roth IRAs, traditional IRA, 529 plan. I have seen many, many things. And I'm going to share with you a couple of things. Well, I don't know if I have time on today's show, but I want to share with you one particular investment portfolio that is probably one of the most interesting ones I've ever seen. And this is from a gentleman. He manages his own portfolio. It's one of the larger portfolios that I've graded. It's over $20 million. And all he invests in is individual stocks. And I'm not going to break down his entire portfolio today because I'm still in the midst of grading the portfolio. But I just want to tell you one thing that he's done that I think is a valuable lesson for all of our listeners. And I'll share that with you coming up a little bit later. Also coming up is Brian Jacobs. He's president at Direction Investments. They manage almost $10 billion across a diverse lineup of mutual funds and ETFs. We already shared with you some of the top performing funds from their lineup right now on a year-to-date basis. JPNL, which tracks Japanese stocks, that thing is up 42%. That's their best performing ETF so far this year. And then we're going to talk about some of their other ones. One particular strategy that is a simple strategy, but has just blown away most strategies, including not just market cap weighted, but so-called smart beta, equal weighting. We're going to talk with Brian Jacobs at Direction Investments coming up next. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right, total U.S. stock market up 253% since the March 9th, 2009 bottom. We are seeing some rockiness in certain markets, particularly currencies. Here to talk with us about that and the other things pertaining to your investments is Brian Jacobs. He's president at Direction Investments. They're headquartered in New York, and they manage around $9.5 billion. Brian, welcome to the Index Investing Show. Great to have you with us.
Ron, great to be with you and your listeners.
So we've seen this dramatic drop in the euro over the past year. It's down around 21%. And what kind of impact do these dramatic currency moves have on stocks and bonds? And should people be hedging some of their currency exposure?
Well, it certainly seems that way. The result of economic and easing in the eurozone because of a sluggish economy has really caused a significant drop in interest rates and resulting in a real drop in the value of the euro, especially versus the dollar. So what we've seen is it's not quite there yet, but close to parity, meaning equal between euro and the dollar. And so as a result, you've seen a very interesting opportunity where you see a rising European equity market coupled with a falling currency. So those investors that have been able to invest in European equities and hedge out the currency exposure have done really, really well. And as a result, you've seen a significant flow of dollars into hedged European equity. It's probably one of the fastest growing ETF sector of the year.
Now, here back in the U.S., we've seen the NASDAQ Composite Index once again touch all-time highs, crossing above 5,000. And the NASDAQ 100 Equal Weight ETF, that's ticker symbol QQQE, and I looked at this, has outperformed the market cap-weighted NASDAQ 100 QQQ by around 4% over the past 3 years, not an insignificant number. This type of outperformance, by the way, but with equal-weighted stock ETFs, is also happening in other benchmarks, not just the NASDAQ 100. Why does equal weighting a stock portfolio work so well?
Well, Ron, it's very interesting, and it's so simple. Equal weighting, you would compare that to a market cap weighted. So in a market cap weighted index, which the S&P 500 and just about all indexes since they were created were market cap weighted, really overweights the bigger stocks and underweights the smaller stocks. So the bigger a company, like Apple, is included at a much higher percentage than a smaller technology company. And in the triple Qs, which you're referring to, at least for ours, is QQQE. That's an equal weight NASDAQ 100 type of portfolio. But to answer your question, when you have an equally weighted portfolio, you earn you own less of the biggest companies and more of the smaller companies, and when you get a sort of a broad market rise, you'll do better, much better in an equally weighted portfolio. So you're seeing this in all different sectors in equal weighting, and it's a trend. My guess is you'll start to see in the future. There's no great reason for an index to be market cap weighted. It's just the way they've done it in the past. And so simply equal weighting just keeps you from buying less of the more expensive stock. So the more expensive the stock is in a market cap weighted, the more you buy. And in equal weighted, you buy an equal amount. So that difference can add to some significant outperformance. The only time that doesn't work is when you have one stock, like an Apple, that completely dominates the overall index, and it rises dramatically. Like, and we had seen that not that long ago, but that seems to be turning around a bit here.
Brian Jacobs, president at Direction Investments, joining us. DirectionInvestments.com is the website. Go there. We encourage you to check out some of their fund products and ETFs, and they've got some great educational materials. DirectionInvestments.com, and that's spelled DirectionIn. investments.com. Now let's talk about the healthcare sector, which continues to lead the broader market higher. Ticker symbol CURE, that aims for triple daily leverage to healthcare stocks. That one's been a top performer. What's been driving the healthcare sector higher, and does it continue?
Well, you know, if you look at the healthcare sector over the last couple of years, it's been the second best performing sector in the S&P 500. Last year it was up almost 25%. This year through yesterday was up over 6%. So in the triple levered healthcare product, what you're seeing is a tripling of that return. So clearly it is a strategy that has been, or a sector that's been doing particularly well. And if you think about just from a pure demographic standpoint, you have an aging baby boomer population that spend more of their disposable income on healthcare and healthcare related products than any other sector, with the exception of technology, but clearly healthcare is right up there. So as a result, with the amount of money flowing into that, it's certainly driving it. Low interest rates also help that particular area. So in the CURE and CURE, what you're looking at is a triple levered exposure to healthcare. And what that investors would look at that is if they have a real view that healthcare will continue to do well, that's a way to provide an added investment in a fast growing sector. The key is, though, you have to watch it every day because it does give you the return of just a particular day. So you'd get the return of today, and then you'd look at it for tomorrow and so on. But it is clearly in the United States, healthcare and healthcare related industries are something that dominates just about every community in the country.
Now let's talk about the recently launched ETFs that Direction just launched here. The leveraged funds, and now instead of using 200 or 300% daily leverage, Brian, they use 125% daily leverage. Tell us more. Where do you see these types of leveraged, or as you call them, leveraged light funds? Where do you see them being used inside portfolios?
Yeah, Ron, thanks for asking. You know, the lightly levered ETFs from Direction is a new idea, one that really hasn't been in the market before. And we're only one of three companies in the United States that have been given exemptive relief by the SEC to use leverage. And as you know, we've been using it in our 2x and 3x leverage. But for the buy and monitor investor, meaning that someone that's going to make an investment and they may hold it as long as they're monitoring it every day, this is a good strategy for them to consider. So it's really just an additional 25% leverage. So if you have belief that the S&P 500 is a place you want to be and will continue to grow, and you want to add to that conviction a small amount, 25%, this is a strategy that allows you to do that. So what we like about it is that, as opposed to just a trading tool, it is a strategy that, for those that are doing active asset allocation, if you own SPY, you may want to also invest in our lightly levered fund. That would be an additional 25% exposure. We do it in the S&P 500, the Russell 2000,
And we also have 125s in both FTSE developed market and FTSE emerging market.
LLSP is the ticker symbol for S&P 500 for small cap stocks, LLSC. One last question before you take off. Just give our listeners one or two rules of thumb for using leveraged ETFs.
Yeah, the most important thing is you should be watching it and keeping an eye on it. It's not designed for you to sort of invest in it and forget about it. It's really designed to be a vehicle that allows you in a simple, straightforward, liquid way to add to your exposure. So you believe in healthcare stocks, or you believe in financials, or the S&P overall. It's a way for you to get additional exposure and get potentially higher returns, although it's also potentially higher risks, of course, because you're using leverage. The thing we would suggest is watching your investment every day and monitoring as it goes along. That's the most important thing. And also when buying ETFs, you generally don't want to buy it on the open. Wait till they start trading for a period of time. I wouldn't put an order in just at the open on any given day.
Well, those are some great tips, Brian. Thanks for joining us. Again, you heard from Brian Jacobs at Direction Investments. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right. Coming back from a great interview there with Brian Jacobs at Direction Investments. And as we talked about in that interview, a couple different things that I think I want to hit on just briefly. The power of equal weighting a portfolio of stocks. Now, this is not something you have to do inside your portfolio because it's automatically done whenever you buy an equal weighted ETF, something like ticker symbol QQQE, that owns a basket of stocks in equal share. And it's a very simple strategy. And as we just explained there, over a period of time, it has shown the tendency to outperform your traditional market cap weighted index. Remember, the market cap weighted index is the traditional indexing way. It basically favors those companies that have the largest market size or market capitalization. And so what ends up happening in a traditional market cap weighted index is the largest companies will tend to dominate the performance, good or bad, of the index. Whereas an equal weighted index, since all the companies have the equal share or equal representation within the benchmark, they have an equal influence on the performance, good or bad, of the index. So just taking a look over the past 3 years, QQQE, which is the equal weighted version of the NASDAQ 100, has easily outperformed the traditional market cap weighted NASDAQ 100, gaining 66.5%, whereas QQQ, the traditional, has gained about 61%. Now, this same phenomenon of equal weighted indexing also works in other markets. Take a look, for example, at the S&P 500, ticker symbol RSP, which equal weights each of those 500 stocks, has gained almost 62%, whereas the traditional S&P 500 has gained 54% over the past 3 years. And if we go out even longer, the same thing happens with equal weighted performance or equal weighted indexes outperforming those traditional market cap weighted benchmarks. So it's something that is a very simple strategy. We talked about it last week on last week's show, if you missed it, that this simple strategy of equal weighting also blows away the performance of allegedly or so-called smart beta. So that's something else that you should know about. And then, of course, we also covered in that interview the latest version, really an innovation. Instead of doing 200% or 300% daily leverage, we see this new series of ETFs that have 125% daily leverage or leverage light. So if you're looking for leverage but without borrowing money from your broker or using margin, this might be a way to add some juice to your performance without having to go out and borrow money. LLSP, which aims for 125% daily leverage to the S&P 500, LLSP, and then LLSC, which does the same thing except on small cap stocks. If death met taxes in a dark alley, who would win? Before answering that question, consider this. Death claims its victims only one time. On the other hand, taxes will snag you every single year of your entire adult life. So there's your answer. Taxes win. 844-305-7800. That's our number. I'm Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Give us your first name along with your city if you want to join us. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can listen to our podcast archive. We archive all our programs, and you can listen to them at iTunes, also Stitcher Radio, along with SoundCloud. I also just started a new podcast called Portfolio Talk. Portfolio Talk, you can find it on SoundCloud as well as Stitcher. I encourage you to listen to that program. Each and every week, we feature portfolio report cards from people just like you, where I analyze and grade investment portfolios that you submit to me. I break it down, look at all the holdings, and tell you how your investment portfolio does in five areas: cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. That is what the portfolio report card is all about. And this is how it works. I look at your portfolio that you submit to me, all of your holdings, and I tell you how you're doing in terms of diversification, how much this portfolio is costing you, and also we look at the tax efficiency, the performance, all these things. And it's a one-page report that you get at the end of this exercise that you can keep. You could share with your financial advisor. If you're managing your own money, you can keep it and use it as a kind of a roadmap for what you need to be improving on. The whole idea is to help you build an investment portfolio that performs in any kind of market, and also a portfolio that's efficient, that's strong, that's healthy. And this is what the portfolio report card is all about. It works. And if you want to take my portfolio challenge and see how you do, do you get an A? Do you get a B? Do you get a C? Do you get a D or F? Do you pass or flunk? Go to portfolioreportcard.com to find out. And that challenge I send to all of our listeners. If you get an A, I pay you $100. Go ahead and take my challenge. Now, I've seen all kinds of portfolios, big and small, and I've seen some odd things. I've seen some encouraging things, and I've also seen things that have impressed me. And one of those things I want to share with you right now. This was a portfolio submitted to me by a retired gentleman in his early 70s. And it's not the type of portfolio that I've ever seen before after grading $100 million in portfolios since we began this last year. I've seen a lot. But I've never seen anything quite like this. And I want to just share with you one particular position that he has held since 1991. And you know what that one position is? It's an Apple. And his first purchase in Apple happened on July 23rd of 1991. And he bought 28,000 shares. And the stock, of course, has split many times since that, but his cost basis on the stock was $1.50. That was in 1991. And you know what he did? In 1998, he bought more. He bought another 25,000 shares at 93 cents a share. So this is 7 years later, and he actually, the original position went down in value. Because remember, he bought it at $1.50, now it's at 93 cents, so he bought more. And then he did this one final time in September of 2001. And we can think back to what was happening in September of 2001. The world as we know it was in crisis. The world was, at that time, focused on what was happening there in New York and 9/11 and the impact of that. And so he went out and bought a few more shares, this time at $1.16 per share. That's, again, split adjusted. That was his last purchase of Apple. Now, this is only one position in this portfolio. This is my biggest portfolio report card ever. This is around a $20 million portfolio. And I'm still in the midst of doing the final report card, but I just wanted to whet your appetite about this particular portfolio, which I will be sharing more with you because he's done this with a few other holdings in the portfolio. But my goodness, these purchases of Apple, which are quite contrarian, because in 1991, Apple was not the stock to own. It was Dell Computer. It was Intel. It was Microsoft. It was Gateway. This was a contrarian trade, folks, and he held with it. For 10 years, this investment that he made in Apple, it began in 1991. For 10 years, he didn't make any money. And it's really the last 15 years where he's made all his money in this stock. And he still has held it. He bought it three times. He hasn't touched it. His basis on this stock, his total all-in, is $81,000. What do you think that this investment is now worth? It's worth $8.3 million. He's got an unrealized gain in the vicinity of $8.2 million. That's long-term investing, baby. And those are some Warren Buffett-like returns. This man has the stamina of an Olympic athlete. He lost money the first 10 years. He stuck with it. And I just wanted to whet your appetite about what's coming in future shows. You're going to hear about this portfolio. It's legendary. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.